That's why we test things, because we start recording and shit's not working. Still dumping snow everywhere outside. It's still the 18th of May in the year of our Lord, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2017. Snowing. Global warming is snowing all fucking over the place outside. Alright, I'm digging through notes trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about in this episode. Because I don't really know yet. I'll figure it out. What is this? Oh my god. This is ancient. I'm just going to do this. God, I gotta work on this. Fuck. I have too much to do. That can suck my dick. You can scream and shout with all your might. Yeah, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space. Hang in your ears and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way the Trump and Fuhrer's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. All right, that could happen. I found the bottom of the pile. I'm not really excited about doing the intro because this is our third podcast of the day, and after doing all the stuff, I'm right, you're wrong, blah blah blah. Just kind of get tired of it. Alright, this needs another pile. Maybe I just do this today. Randy, should I just fucking rewrite this? So I have this essay that I wrote for one of my philosophy classes a long time ago. And most of the things that I wrote for my philosophy classes, you know, years have gone by and I look back on them and I remember them. Oh, I wrote this great paper, you know. And I go back and I read them and it's like, oh my God, that was a total giant piece of incoherent shit. I can't even say it was bad writing because it wasn't good enough to qualify as writing. But I do have this one essay. This one. It's like this one woman, right? I know this one woman. I have this one essay that I wrote, which is about ethical questions in genetic engineering. And it's not bad. It's really not fucking bad. It's pretty fucking good. I mean, I'm not putting myself up there with Aristotle or anything like that, but it's actually pretty fucking good. And I think my plan for a long time, which I haven't fucking executed on it, so it doesn't really matter. Plans without execution are just masturbation. But my intent, such as it is, again, if I intended to do it, I'd have fucking done it. This is called self-awareness. This is what it looks like. I'm sitting here and I'm going to do this one day. No, you're not. You're going to fucking talk about it. So anyhow, I have started editing it. And my intention, which I may or may not follow up on, is to edit this and put the fucking thing on the website and get it out there. Because it ain't half fucking bad. Anyhow, that was a lot of babbling about that. And I found it because I'm digging through the pile of material, well, a pile. I currently have three piles of material for this show. One of which, well, I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you when I get to doing it. God, and today, you know, if I'd have known it was going to snow this much, gee, it is still fucking dumping. It is shitting everywhere. The trees are really taking a beating because this is the big, wet snow that sticks. And so the trees, because we had rain and it's spring and everything, the trees had all greened out. For those of you who live in places that don't have snow, you're lucky. the way this works is, so the trees have already greened out, right? The leaves and everything. Now this snow is coming down, and because it's so wet, it's sticking and piling up on the trees, and it's heavier than shit. And so looking out the windows, you can see the trees are starting to bend over, and there are going to be branches coming down everywhere. Probably, I mean, if it keeps going like this, which it looks like it's going to do, then the next couple of hours, there's going to be tree limbs start coming down. So this is not good for the trees. Not good for the trees at all. What's this? Oh! Where? Oh, where? God. Where the fuck did I? There it is. Here's more headlines from the shit. Am I going to lose them? There were some good ones. It's retrieving news. The Dow Jones is up 30 points for anyone who gives a shit. Donald Trump is going to start World War III. Oh, sensationalism. Come on, why are you retrieving the fucking news? You had the news. What is this? This is crap. Here's a question. So I got this flyer here for WIC. Household size. Why is there an asterisk? You can... Why am I... God damn it. You can... WIC is for all kinds of families. Married, single, and foster parents. Working or not working. Okay, first of all, if you're single, you're not a family. You're a single mother or a single father. That's not a family. Second of all, foster parents. If you can't afford children, why are you being a foster parent? Why are people who cannot afford to feed the children they're going to be foster parents for? Why are those people allowed to be foster parents? What the... My brain is trying to wrap around that entire concept. Why? Oh, because it's the government. The government wants to keep inferior people alive. No, if you can't be a foster parent without getting welfare in order to help you be a foster parent and pay for the fucking child, you shouldn't be allowed to be a foster parent. That is the stupidest fucking thing I've heard in the last 15 seconds. So you can participate in WIC if you live in Colorado, are pregnant or breastfeeding, and or have a child younger than 5 years old. You have a family income less than WIC income guidelines. Guidelines are showed below. So if your household size is one person and you make less than $21,000 a year, you can get WIC benefits. But if there's only one person in the household, then you don't have any kids. You can't have... Just sit here and say, well, I'm a single mom and I have three kids, but there's... Wait, no. If there's only one person in your household, that would be you. I mean, no, you say, well, what if she's pregnant? No, it says right here, if you are pregnant, you can count yourself as two. So if you're pregnant, which is interesting, because remember, it's not a person, it's an unviable tissue mass. But you can count the unviable tissue mass in your uterus as a person for the benefit of getting more welfare. Okay, why do you get WIC if there's only one person in your household? So basically what they're saying is, look, just women can get, just for being alive. Now it says over here that men can participate also. Fathers and other caregivers of children younger than five are encouraged to blah, 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 blah. Okay, no, wait, I'm confused now. I'm really confused. WIC is for all kinds of families. If there's only one person in your household, that's not a family. So you don't even have to have children to get WIC benefits. Fucking Christ. All right. Welfare, it's a thing. It's not going away anytime soon. There's not much point in me getting my blood pressure elevated over it. But it's funny. I don't understand it. I don't get it. All right. More sensationalist headlines over here on the, what do you call this thing? Stock market app on the iPhone. Blah, blah, blah. Wall Street caps Trump-induced stock sell-off. I read that one already. Upbeat data brings investors back after Trump slump. Whew. U.S. stocks dollar steady after steep sell-off. Stocks try to rebound from the biggest sell-off of 2017. Stock opens lower as investors grapple with chaos in the White House. There's chaos in the White House. All right. That's all the good ones. I've read all the good ones. Of course, you haven't heard this in days because the other great one right now is the stock market sell-off is as much about earnings as it is about Trump. Oh, actually, the stock market has nothing to do with Trump, but you're not smart enough to know that. All right, what else do I got here? Then there's this, yeah, and you know, there's another affirmative action joke about Obama. I'm just too lazy to even make it. Because everyone's going, oh my God, Donald Trump. After saying I'm too lazy to make it, I'm going to go ahead and make the joke. Everyone's running, not everyone, stupid people are running around going, oh my God, Donald Trump's going to start World War III. Did you notice that when Obama was bombing 7 countries in 6 years and murdering Muslims with missiles launched from flying robots, nobody ever said Obama was going to start World War III? But then again, that makes sense because Obama is black and he can't do anything without affirmative action to help him. So unless some white people helped Obama start World War III, we were in no danger of Obama starting World War III. For Obama to start World War III, he'd have to do some fucking work. Yeah, there you go. Little affirmative action racist joke there. Racist, sexist, homophobic, blah, blah, blah. What do I got here? All right, let's just do this. Drinking. Black Rifle Coffee Company. Coffee. I talked about the truthful statements can't be free from, don't need to be free from regulation, whatever the fuck it is. We'll read it in a minute. You've heard it. You've seen it on the Twitterverse. You've seen it on the Facebook, whatever. I decided to track it down to the source. As I said, this is a 90-page document. I will attempt, you know how my attempts are. I will attempt to remember to put the link in the show notes. Let me put a note here. This is episode 3. Link in show notes. That means I gotta upload the fucking thing. I'll do that too. Talking to myself. All right, so I found the thing that this judge wrote with all of his stuff in it. So let's read through this. Let's do a little analysis on this shit. Did I have anything else? Oh, things I need to babble about before we do important stuff, because God forbid I don't tangent for a while. Right now I am watching the movie Resident Evil, I think it's called. I don't even fucking know. I think it's called The Final Chapter. Suppose I could pop open my Netflix and see. Because I'm old, I still get the DVDs. I don't do the online streaming and all that other shit. Us old people, we need DVDs because, hey, where are you kids? Get off my lawn. Now, starting up the browser means that, unfortunately, I'm also going to see the Twitterverse, which let's see if anything on Twitter makes me lose my mind. What do we got on Twitter right now? Hysterical net neutrality protesters want to ban Drudge, InfoWars, and Breitbart. Well, yeah, of course they do, because that's what... Whoa, interesting. Because that is to leftists, you know, that is freedom, is banning other people, censoring other people, silencing other people. They don't have any other way to relate to the world. Yes, Resident Evil, the final chapter, is the name of the movie. Okay, I serve as a warning to you folks. Do not, let me say again, do not waste any of your life. Oh God, wait, what's this? Nurses having to go to food banks is disgraceful. Retweet if you agree. As a nurse, and there's this picture here with, of course, an overweight woman. As a nurse, I see my colleagues go to food banks because of low pay. We can't go on like this. Our profession won't survive. Danielle Tiplady, community nurse, 30 years old. What is a community nurse? And she's overweight. She doesn't need to go to the food bank. She needs to eat less. Yeah, this is me getting distracted. Okay, Resident Evil, the final chapter, is fucking terrible. Holy shit. Now, the Resident Evil movies are not exactly great cinema. They're not Alien. They're not Alien. By the way, CinemaSins just released Everything Wrong with Aliens. And I watched that right before we started this episode. It's great. I will embed the video in the show notes. I'm scratching a note to myself to remember to do that. Let's see, I put that on there. Yeah, the Resident Evil movies, they're not great cinema. The first one was pretty good. I enjoyed the first Resident Evil movie. I think it was pretty decent. I have it on DVD. I watch it every now and then. It's good. From there, it all went downhill. This one, and we'll see if it really is the final chapter, because God knows they'll make another one. Holy shit. The jump cuts, the action, the fighting scenes are nothing but jump cut, jump, 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 and everything's in the dark. You have no idea what's going on. It's like looking into a strobe light. I'm not bullshitting you here. It is so painful to my eyes. The jump cuts are so fast and so abrupt. It is like looking into a strobe light. It is painful to my eyes. I am having to close my eyes. And of course, we have the thing where the Yugo girl, what's her name? Mila, whatever. You know, she's riding away on the motorcycle from this giant tank. And the tank is shooting at her. The tank is driving down the street. She's riding her motorcycle away from the tank down the street that the tank is on. It's a straight fucking highway. It's a straight shot. The tank is shooting at her with two machine guns, the main fucking gun, and missiles. And of course, all of them are missing, which is bullshit. If you are riding away from me in a motorcycle, moving in a straight line away from me, I can take you down with a fucking M16 and 30 fucking rounds, because you're going in a straight line. I can fucking hit. But this fucking super mega tank can't hit her. And so the Red Queen computer contacts Alice. That's Namila Johanovic, or whatever her name is, character, right? The protagonist of the series. The Red Queen computer is the evil computer that works for Umbrella. But Red Queen contacts her and says, hey, you know, you got, I can't go against Umbrella, but I've, and this long, just don't worry about the justification, because anyway, but the Red Queen, because I'm not going to explain it, it doesn't matter, but the Red Queen tells Alice, you've got to get to the Umbrella hive over here, and you've got to release the vaccine to the T-virus, because it's airborne, or else all the humans on Earth, because most humans are already dead, right, because the T-virus got out, and there's zombies running around eating everybody, okay. But you've got to get here and release, because in 48 hours, all remaining humans on the surface of the planet Earth will be dead. And so now we've got, it's the countdown. And of course, Alice has the little watch that the Red Queen can set to 48 hours. And now it's counting down. Oh, we got the countdown. Ooh, there's a movie fucking gimmick that hasn't been used in about 43, 44 seconds. And we got the countdown. And I'm thinking, okay, first of all, how is everybody on the planet Earth going to die in 48 hours? Like, in 48 hours, do they all drop dead simultaneously? Or is this like a building thing where over the next 48 hours, they're all going to be dying? And what exactly is going to be killing them? As long as they don't get caught by a zombie, then there's no reason that they would die. And why exactly is everybody, every human on the surface of the planet Earth, going to die in 48 hours? Why not 47 hours and 13 minutes? Why not 49 hours and 12 minutes? How is it that everybody is magically going to die in exactly 48 hours? And Red Queen has not bothered to explain how everybody's going to die in 48 hours. So then, Alice gets to... You're saying, great one, what does this have to do with anarchy? Nothing, just shut up. This is me talking about non-fucking political shit for a minute, okay? Just relax. Just take a fucking Quaalude and relax. Alice gets to Raccoon City. And at Raccoon City, she meets up with Claire Redfield from the previous movies, because of course we got to bring these, and they're all holed up in this building, right? And Al's like, oh, because the bad guys are coming with their tanks that can't hit anything. And of course the tanks get defeated because they throw barrels of gasoline at them with catapults. I'm like, okay, sure. Anyway, the bad guys are coming with their tanks and they have a bunch of zombies following them. So Alice is saying, well, we got to get the fuck out of here because the bad guys are coming. And Claire Redfield and everybody is like, oh, we can't leave. We have children here and injured people here and sick people here. All right, so we have to stay here and defend the building. Okay, so they stay there. They defend the building. But the building, of course, eventually gets overrun. So now you've got Claire and you got Alice and you've got four or five survivors. Well, okay, now we're going to go down into the Umbrella Complex because, of course, that's where the plot needs them to go. But wait a minute. So you're going to abandon all the old and the sick and the children and everybody in the building that just a minute ago, you couldn't just run away and leave them because, oh no, you had to stay and defend them. But now that your building's been overrun, you're like, wow, well, fuck it. Let's just leave. Well, if that's going to be your attitude, why didn't you just fucking leave in the first place before the enemy got there and you could have already had a head start to the Umbrella Complex and you would have had more people capable of fighting because those people wouldn't have got killed fighting the goddamn tanks. It's just the fucking, the plot, the direction, the directing, the cinematography is fucking terrible. The plot is incoherent. The characters, it's every stereotype on the planet Earth has appeared so far. It is just fucking terrible. It is terrible. Do not watch this movie. I mean, again, this is a movie. You're saying, great one, but you're watching it. Yes, but this is the sacrifice that I make for my listeners. Okay? This movie is not even terrible enough that it's so terrible that watching it is entertaining. Okay? It's not that terrible. This is a movie that is so fucking terrible that you need to not waste any part of your life watching this shit. All right, hang on. I got to do something on interwebs here. I did that already.
Ha ha!
Oh, that is hello, you girls. You girls are so hilarious. Oh, you girls. All right. So that was Resident Evil. Don't watch it. Here we go. In this, I still can't think of the right word for what this is called. The thing a judge writes after he decides a case. I know it's not a brief. So anyhow, the paragraphs are numbered, so that's nice and helpful. I'm on page 531, and we're starting at paragraph 139. This is in case you've got the PDF file and you want to know where this is in the PDF. And there it is. It's midnight, my friends. Midnight for the fucking Western civilization as we all die under the burden of the stupidity and the parasites, social justice warriors, the basket of inferiors. And as the trees begin to die under the weight of the snow. God damn. And it is still just fucking dumping. This is kind of unbelievable. Well, not really. It's Colorado. It's actually not unbelievable at all. It's just really fucking annoying. Okay, here we go. Paragraph 139 is where we begin. Critics find the absence of a defense of truth of particular concern, given that seeking truth is one of the strongest justifications for freedom of expression. They argue that the right to speak the truth should not be lightly restricted, and that any restriction should be seen as a serious infringement. Paragraph 140. I agree with the argument that the quest for truth is an essential component of the marketplace of ideas, which is itself central to a strong democracy. Which, of course, is not true. That which is central to a strong democracy is an unintelligent population, a population that needs a messiah figure to tell them what to do. In order, as I said before, you cannot have democracy if you have intelligent people in the population. To have a democracy, you need a population comprised mostly of inferior people. Because competent, capable, superior people do not need government. Right? Once again, if you need the government to tell you that leaving your 22-month-old child in a car so that he dies from heat exhaustion or heat stroke or whatever, if you need someone to tell you that's wrong, then you're not very smart. Intelligent people can figure out you don't leave your kid in the car because he'll die. Right? So if you need... Let me start that over. People who need to be told what to do need government. People who don't need to be told what to do don't need government. Okay? You can't have democracy without stupid people. Smart people don't need democracy because smart people don't need government. The search for truth is also an important part of self-fulfillment. However, the word, however, is an indicator that everything the judge wrote before this is lies. Right? This is like the word but. When somebody's like, well, I like Alice a lot, but what that means is you don't like Alice. When you said you liked Alice, you were lying. That's what the word but means. Same thing here. So search for truth is an important part of self-fulfillment. However, I do not think it inconsistent with these views to find that not all truthful statements must be free from restriction. truthful statements can be interlaced with harmful ones, or otherwise presented in a manner that would meet the definition of hate speech. So there it is. I mean, this is a real thing. He did actually, this judge was actually, or I think it was a judge, I don't know, I don't care. This idiot, who is a member of the democratically elected government. This is why democracy doesn't work, okay? This is why democracy doesn't work. Democracy has given Canada an official, a judge, whatever the fuck he is, who actually wrote the sentence. I do not think it is inconsistent with these views to find that not all truthful statements must be free from restriction. Truthful statements can be interlaced with harmful ones. Oh my gosh. Or otherwise presented in a manner that would meet the definition of hate speech. Of course, there is no definition of hate speech. Nobody knows what hate speech is. Nobody has a clue what hate speech is, whatever a non-heterosexual white man with a job thinks it is. Hate speech is another one of these nebulous terms that has no real meaning. It just means whatever it is convenient for it to mean at any given moment. Saying that truthful statements can be interlaced with harmful ones. Well, sure, I suppose that's true, but so what? I'm not sure how that provides I'm not sure how that backs up this idea that truthful statements can be restricted, which is what this boils down to. Just because something is true, well, that doesn't mean you should be allowed to say it. And this is the entire essence of the snowflake mentality, right, is that these snowflakes, the snowflakes, which are everywhere outside thanks to global warming, the snowflakes, those aren't even snowflakes, that's falling slush. The snowflakes have to be protected from the truth. And here, I mean, this is the admission. This is the judge saying, the snowflakes, we'd have to not just protect the snowflakes from hate speech, which doesn't mean anything. We have to protect them from the truth. Truth can be so harmful to the snowflakes that we need to restrict, we, the democratically elected government, we need to restrict truthful statements so as to not harm the feelings of snowflakes. As Dickerson C.J. stated in Kigstra, I don't know what that is, at page 763, there is, quote, very little chance that statements intended to promote hatred against an identifiable group are true, or that their vision of society will lead to a better world, unquote. So statements intended to promote hatred against an identifiable group are true. It is not likely. There's very little chance. So when feminists say that all men are rapist, you're attempting to promote hatred against an identifiable group. So there's very little chance that that's true. Right? When somebody says that Donald Trump supporters are all Nazis and racist. Okay, well, that is a statement which is intended to promote hatred against an identifiable group. So does that mean that there is very little chance those statements are true? Does it mean that those statements are not going to lead to a better world? Once again, we see this, the left-wing statist mentality, which is when other people do it, it's wrong. When we do it, it's okay. If I say that, yes, all women are hypergamous, well, then that would mean that I am making a statement intended to promote hatred against an identifiable group, and therefore that's not true and not going to lead to a better world. But when the feminists say that all Donald Trump supporters are racist, well, that is certainly not a bad thing. And that will, in fact, lead to a better world and is absolutely true. To the extent that truthful statements are used in a manner or context that exposes a vulnerable group to hatred. Now, see, that's a nice little phrase, a vulnerable group. See, that's the Orwellian language. That's how we make it okay, acceptable, not just acceptable, but encouraged to attack heterosexual white men. Or to attack Donald Trump supporters, or to attack fundamentalist Christians, or to attack Mormons, or to attack Jehovah's Witnesses. Because you see, those are not vulnerable groups. And who defines vulnerable? Well, left-wing statist social justice warrior snowflakes define who is vulnerable and who is not, just as that same group of people defines what is hate speech and what is not. To the extent that truthful statements are used in a manner or context that exposes a vulnerable group to hatred, their use risks the same potential harmful effects on the vulnerable groups that false statements can provide. The vulnerable group is no less worthy of protection because the publisher has succeeded in turning true statements into a hateful message. Once again, guys, true statements do not... Okay, if I say to you, for example, here's a true statement. If I say to you that most of the murders that happen in Chicago are black people killing other black people, that statement, that truth of that fact, is not hateful. The hateful part comes with your interpretation of it. There is no such thing as hateful truths. Truth is only truth. It doesn't have this emotional baggage that you show up and attach to truth. That doesn't come with the truth. Okay? If I say unto you, I am wearing a blue shirt, that is truth. It does not come with hatefulness attached to it, or loveness, or any other emotional isnish. The emotional ishness on a truthful statement, on a truthful fact, on something which is objectively verifiable, that does not come with, along with, it is not an inherent part of the objective ishness of this fact that we can ascertain. Okay? That fucking emotional ishness is something you are putting on it. And when you look around the world and you see every fucking fact that hurts your feelings as being filled with hatred, that's not, the facts are not having the hatred. The hatred is being put there by you because you're a fucking snowflake, because you are inferior. In not providing for a defense of truth, The legislature has said that even truthful statements may be expressed in language or context that exposes a vulnerable group to hatred. This is some Orwellian shit. It really is. Some interviewers argued, this is paragraph 142. Some interviewers argued that there should be a defense of sincerely held belief. In their view, speech that is made in good faith and on the basis of the speaker's religious beliefs should be given greater protection or constitute an absolute defense to any prohibition. These arguments anticipate the question still to be considered of whether an infringement of Section 2A of the Charter by Section 14.1B would be justified under a Section 1 analysis. Whew. When you have that many laws about what people are allowed to say, don't tell me that you're free. Okay, don't give me this I'm free shit. It is sufficient. Of course, I have no idea what any of that means, nor do I give a shit. It is sufficient here to say that if the sincerity of a religious belief would automatically preclude the finding of a contravention of Section 14.1b, the S1 Section 1 analysis would be derailed with no balancing of the competing rights. I challenge you to explain to me what the fuck that means. Paragraph 143. Apart from that concern, the fact that a person circulates a hate publication in the furtherance of a sincere religious... And no, I'm sure that the fucking Quran and all the Muslim stuff, I'm sure none of that is hate, right? Apart from that concern, the fact that a person circulates a hate publication in the furtherance of a sincere religious belief goes to the question of the subjective view of the publisher, which is irrelevant to the objective application of the definition of hatred. Okay, there is no objective definition of hatred. That's part of the problem. If this bizarre notion you have of hatred and hate speech had an objective definition, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It would be really obvious, right? There is a very objective definition of what five is, right? There's either five penguins or there's not. Well, then you could argue about what's a penguin. There's either five coffee cups or there's not five coffee cups. And you can argue about what the definition of coffee cup is, but you can't argue about the definition of five. There is no objective application of the definition of hatred. There's no such fucking thing. There's no such thing. Hatred is an emotional response that a person has to something they encounter. All people have differing emotional responses. All emotional responses are subjective and unique to the individual encountering them. Not encountering them, to the individual manifesting them. We manifest our emotions from within ourselves. My experience of hatred, your experience of hatred, are not the same. No two people have the same experience of any emotion. That is impossible. Emotions are personal. They are subjective by definition. To say that there is an objective application of the definition of hatred. No. Hatred is not a numerical quantity. Hatred is not something quantifiable, such as a pound of granite. Hatred is an emotional response. An emotional response can only be had by a sentient being. Every sentient being, every human, has different brain chemistry. Even though our brains are structurally, if I can talk, similar, the brain chemistry in everybody's brain is different. The life experiences of everybody is different. Everyone's concept of what is and is not hatred is different. It is completely subjective. There is no motherfucking objective definition of hatred. And this, again, this is one of the things, in order to believe this, in order to be stupid enough to think that there's such a thing as an objective definition of hatred, you have to go to college to be that fucking dumb. Allowing the dissemination of hate speech to be excused by a sincerely held belief would, in effect, provide an absolute defense and would gut the prohibition of effectiveness. Now, of course, I haven't read this whole thing. I'm not going to. I don't really know the context of what it all happened. But what it sounds to me like they're trying to accomplish here is to say that if somebody interprets what you're saying as hate, which means their feelings are being hurt, then you can be stopped from saying what you're saying, even if it happens to be true. And that's some terrifying shit. But that's one more reason why I'm not interested in saving Western civilization. Because when your civilization is that far gone, you can't fucking Captain Save-A-Ho that shit. When you've got government officials running around saying that people should be prevented. I mean, so if you say something that's true and somebody else thinks it's hate speech, I mean, what, are they going to fine you? Are they actually going to put you in jail? I mean, how far are they going to go? When you live in a civilization where simply saying things that are true can get you in trouble because it hurts somebody's feels, that is a civilization that cannot be saved. There's nothing you can do at that point. There's nothing you can do at that point. There is nothing you can do at that point. It's over. All right, we're moving on. Here we go. I got to get this in. REI, if you don't know what REI is, if you don't have REI around wherever the fuck you live, REI is this co-op that they sell like outdoor gear. I buy shit there every now and then, so I'm on their mailing list. So they're doing this propaganda thing right now about getting women to go outside. So we got this one. Here's this picture. Let's make outside the largest level playing field on Earth, which of course has this picture of, you know, a you go girl chick standing out in the desert in front of the mountain. May 6th kicks off, kicks off 1,000 events for women nationwide. Because of course women need events just for them, because they can't go to events that aren't specifically geared for women, because men and women are equal, but the women can't go to an event that has any men in it, right? Because this would be racist, sexist, homophobic, I don't know, whatever. We got this one. Women's REI Flash 45 pack. The screenshots of this will be in the show notes. Now available in a bold, member-exclusive print and color while supplies last. This limited edition Flash 45 is designed, developed, and inspired by women of the co-op, exclusively for our co-op members. We're giving back 72% of the profits from this pack to create more opportunities for women and girls to get outside. Okay. Women and girls cannot go outside unless money is given to some organization, and it doesn't name, I don't know what this specific organization is, but you have to give money to an organization to create opportunities for women and girls to go outside. Because, see, without an organization that is funded to show women and girls where outside is at, they can't go there. Women and girls need other people to create opportunities for them to go outside. This is why I come to you on this podcast and I tell you women shouldn't have jobs. It's not because I hate women. I know you think it is. I don't give a shit what you think because your feels. If women and girls cannot figure out how to go outside on their own, there's no way I'm going to sit here and listen to you some tell me some shit about how fucking equal they are. It's outside. It's right over there. It's not that difficult to find outside. It's right outside. Try looking away from the screen of your smartphone. Like, look up. Don't look at the smartphone. Don't look at your Instagram. Stop taking selfies in the mirror. Somewhere in the room where you're at, there's this thing called a door. Go towards the door. Now open the door. Now, I don't know, maybe you need, this might be hate speech. Maybe you need funding or something to do this. But if you open the door, use the little knob. There's probably a little knob on the door. If you turn it, and either try pushing and pulling. Try turning both ways, and the door will open. And you'll see this place on the other side of the door. And that place is called outside. And you can do this without money. You don't need money to go outside. Unless you're a woman. Oh, the hate speech is just raining down.